Pastor Stephen Carter for the opportunity to be here too. The Lord's good, isn't he?
Amen.
He is a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And I love it. I love it. Love the music. Love the fellowship. And I just love being around this place. This is a great place. I like it, don't you?
Amen.
Do you know, there's four things about this church that really everybody in this area ought to know. You ought to write them down. People say, what is Landmark Baptist Church like? I'm going to tell you what it's like. Number one, it's a place where you are going to find a friend. It's a friendly place. How many had your hand shaken tonight? Do you know there are a lot of churches, they need to write on door, no one welcome. Do you know the world is waiting for an invitation to come? We live in a different day today now, we do. People out on that do not know the Lord, do you know they do not even understand that every visitor is an honored guest? We're glad people come. Sometimes people come, and I'm sure you have it here, they'll walk in the door and they'll have their invitation or track, like, this is my ticket to get in, you know. But a friendly place, number one. Number two, you have heart-stirring music. You ought to remember that. It's heart-stirring music. I mean, music that will stir your heart. Number three, good, old-fashioned preaching and teaching true to the Word of God. That's hard to find today. And number four, something for every member of the family. Do you know why people don't come to church? You know why they don't come to church? Number one, they say they're unfriendly. Number two, they say the services are boring. Number three, they say, I don't understand what they're talking about. And number four, they say, there's nothing over there for my family. This church meets every one of those needs. You ought to write it down.
Amen.
You ought to tell people, I want you to come to the friendliest church north of Cape Coral, Florida. Had to get that in, right? God bless you. And it's so good to be here. I tell you, I'm always trying to get people to be busy inviting people to church, inviting people to church. And, you know, if you'll invite enough people, they'll show up. You'll get people to come. And you'll also find there are a lot of hungry-hearted people out there that need God. And when you invite them, God's going to use that to speak to their hearts. Now I want you to turn your Bible to the book of 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. How many have your Bible with you tonight?
Amen.
Good. Praise God. Let's see. Let's see the Bible. Look at that. What a beautiful sight. What a beautiful sight. 1 John chapter number, chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 13. You got it? 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. And I'm going to get a couple of people to help me preach tonight. Not these two. They're too scary for me. No, I'm just kidding. 1 John chapter 1, chapter 5, 4. You know I'm getting crazy. It's got to be all that life before I came to know God, you know. Chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Would you read it with me tonight? Let's read it together, would you? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Father, dear Lord, I thank you again for your goodness. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here in this great church, in this pulpit. And Lord, I pray that you would help me tonight, that you might open the hearts and mind of understanding. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, tonight help us. And I pray that you'd anoint me fresh and new with your Spirit. Help me to say the things that's pleasing to thee. But oh, dear Lord, when we leave this meeting tonight, may we know that we know you, and may we believe that you're going to do something wonderful in the lives of people. And we'll thank and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I want to speak tonight on this subject, believe to believe. Believe to believe. I want you to say that with me, would you? Believe
to believe.
Say it again, would you? The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things have I written unto you that believe, that you may believe. I want you to think about that tonight. Is it possible to know that you know Him? Is that possible? Of course it is. I got saved when I was 26 years old. I'm so glad I got saved. I wished I'd gotten saved when I was a kid, but I'm glad I got saved. My brother got saved when he was 14 and came home from a Baptist church and said, I got saved. We said, that's good. Didn't encourage him any. He kept going on. Thank God for those who work with kids, and especially those young people who are coming from homes with one parent. Didn't get a whole lot of encouragement at home, but somebody took an interest in him and encouraged him. And when he was in high school, he surrendered to preach and started preaching. Can you imagine? Tried to preach to us, but we didn't want to hear it. And then, believe it or not, when my father died, just before my brother came to know the Lord, my father died. And my mother remarried and moved me to Florida the summer before my senior year in high school. Can you imagine the brokenhearted young girls in Tennessee when I left? They had to fly the flag at half mast. Tom's going south. I moved to Cape Coral, Florida with my mother, my two sisters, and my pop, my beloved pop. I'm glad that I had the joy and privilege of leading him to Christ. One of the kindest human beings that God ever let live on this earth. And I moved to Florida. I didn't like Florida. I got here and I thought it was going to be beautiful palm trees and everything. And I found out just a big sand pile with a bunch of mosquitoes. I went to school. I didn't like school. I didn't like it at all. I went to school and I said, this is terrible. I was thinking about Tennessee, how nice things were in Tennessee. And about the second week at Cypress Lake High School, my senior year, I saw this pretty little black-headed girl walking down the hall. And I said, things are looking better for the old Tomster. Now, one good thing about having a younger sister that's close to you in age is she can help you make contact with somebody that's important. And so I said to my sisters, Catherine, I need you to help me. I want to meet that girl. And my sister introduced me to the girl that later on became my wife. And I'm so glad she did. We've had a wonderful journey. We got married right after school. Now, I wouldn't recommend that for anybody, but it's worked for me. I asked her, how many of these years have been wonderful? She said, I'll tell you later. But we got married, and I mean, we started our journey as a couple. I was lost. She was lost. She was a good Catholic. I used to drop her off to Catholic church, and she'd go in and go through all the things they'd tell her to do, and I'd come to pick her up. And sometimes she'd say to me, honey, you're going to have to come back later because I got a whole lot of stuff to say. I said, what did you tell that guy? She said, well, I told him a pretty good bit. I said, quit telling him everything. We don't have all day for you to go in that little confession box. And I'm, you know, I didn't know much about it. I knew that's what I wasn't. And she wanted to be a good Catholic. And then my brother stayed after us to get us saved. I mean, stayed after us. And I thought, you know, I don't want to hear that, brother. And I mean, I was as mean to him as you could possibly be. And my wife was very kind and gracious. She loved him and loved my sister-in-law. And she was glad for him to try to help me. It became like Lady and the Tramp, me, her and I, you know. And so one Sunday night in July of 1976, one Sunday night, I went to Emmanuel Baptist Church to hear my brother preach for the first time. He'd been preaching for 9 years and I hadn't heard him. And I sit in the back of the auditorium, and I listened to a sermon that night on John chapter 1, verses 40 and following. Andrew found his own brother, Simon Peter, and brought him to Christ. That night, he said, I'm preaching on bringing your brother to Jesus. Now, he already introduced me as his one and only brother. And he said, Andrew had one brother, and he was lost and on his way to a devil's hell. He said, I know how Andrew felt. I thought, what in the world? I wasn't the smartest one in the building, but I was beginning to put two and two together. I knew something was going on. And he got to talking about Andrew burdened for his brother and his brother going to die and spend eternity separated from God. And I got to thinking, goodness gracious, he's talking about me. I did not know you could get up and leave a service in the middle of preaching. I thought you had to stay to the last amen or something terrible would happen to you. I didn't find out you could leave church early till I started preaching. Hey, I'm not done. Get back in. But I listened to him. First part of that sermon, I have to be honest with you, I was upset. But God got in that thing and God began to speak to my heart. And that night, sitting in the back of Emmanuel Baptist Church, I heard that God loved me and Jesus died for me. And that night, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I mean, I said, you know what I prayed? And I wouldn't recommend anybody pray this, but I prayed to God, I'm done. That's all I knew to pray. I said to God, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with it all. Oh, God. And that night I asked God to save me. God came into my heart and God saved me and changed my life. I went home that night a happy camper. I was saved and on my way to heaven. And I was so excited about it. I didn't know what to do. I went to work the next day and told everybody. I said, I got something last night. What'd you get? I don't know, but whatever I got, it's something real. I didn't know how to tell anybody anything. But I began to learn how to share my faith. And I began to learn some things. If you'd asked me the day after I got saved, if you said, are you saved? I'd say, oh, yeah. And then later, a little after that, I wrote in my Bible, John 3:16, and signed my name to it, put that date. And if you'd said to me, are you saved? I'd say, yes, I am. I got right here, and I could read you John 3:16. But the truth of the matter is, the devil began to work on me. The devil began to work on me. Now, I can tell you tonight that I know that I know God. But there's been times in my life and I had to wrestle with some things. You know what I'm talking about? I had to wrestle with it. And I've tried to help people all through these years get their salvation settled. I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about getting to the place where you know that you know God. And there's a reason for that. And I discovered that the devil's greatest weapon is doubt. Doubt. My children, both my daughters who are serving God and in their place of service, and thank God they married wonderful Christians, are serving the Lord, and thank God for the grandchildren are learning and walking into faith. But my daughters got saved early in life. They got saved as little children. As little children. And they had to wrestle with this. They had to wrestle with it. They had to get it settled that they knew God. And I want you to know tonight, it doesn't matter if you got saved when you was 4 years old or 5 years old, or I think it was John R. Rice that got saved when he was 3 years old, or if you got saved when you were 103, like the woman in our ministry, nursing home ministry, you can know that you know God. And the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. And I want to give you some things tonight to help you settle this thing. Now you say, preacher, I don't doubt it. I know, but it just takes a little bit of doubt to stop you from going over to the other side of this verse. Now, what has God given us that we might know? Now, I'm going to try to hurry and give you this tonight. So I want you to notice, if you would, in 1 John, we're going to stay in the book of 1 John. In the book of 1 John, look with me, if you would, please, in chapter number 2. And hereby do we know that we know him, verse number 3. And hereby do we know, 1 John 2:3, do we know that we know him if We keep His commandments. This is not how you get saved. This is how you know that you're saved. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? You don't get saved by doing a bunch of rules and keeping a bunch of do's and don'ts. You get saved by trusting Christ and Christ alone. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works. But once you get saved, you can know that you know God because in your heart of hearts, you have a desire to do what God says you should do. I mean, you want to do it. You don't have to be drugged to do it. You have a desire in your heart to want to do the things that God says you ought to do. I call those things the daily duties of the child of God. God wants us to read the Bible. You ought to read the Bible.
Yes.
Number two, you ought to pray.
Yes.
Number three, you ought to be faithful to church.
Yes.
Number four, you ought to give.
Yes.
Number five, you ought to share your faith and tell somebody about Christ. Those five things will make you a five-star Christian. Read your Bible, pray, be faithful to church, give and tell others. If you'll do those things and do them consistently, you'll be one of the greatest Christians that's ever lived. Let me say it again. If you'll do those things and do them consistently, you'll be one of the greatest Christians that's ever lived. We battle doing those five things. We battle reading our Bibles. We battle praying. We battle being faithful. We battle giving. And I'm not talking about tithing. I'm talking about above the tithe. And we battle sharing our faith. How many people pass across our path that we never tell about Jesus? You see, a child of God has a desire in their heart to want to do what God has commanded us to do. In their heart of hearts, there is a desire to do right. That's the mark of a Christian. Number two, I want you to look in your Bible, if you would, please. And God wants us to know in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. The Bible says not only can you know that you know God because you have a desire in your heart to want to do these things, but you can know that you know God because you love God's people.
Yes.
Now, the Bible doesn't say you like all of God's people. Christians sometimes are hard to like. You know, David said, out of all my brothers, he liked me. God loves everybody, and God likes everybody, by the way, but David said he likes me. You know, there are people I like. I like your pastor. I like Pastor Stephen. I like him. I mean, I don't only love him, I like him. I like to sit around him. I like to be around him. There are people I just like being around. I just enjoy the fellowship. But there's people you love. You ought to love all God's people. Well, what I mean by that, you ought to want God's best for people. And the Bible says you can know that you know God because you love the brethren.
Yes.
Are you still with me?
Yes.
I want you to look in your Bible. What else does the Word of God have to say? He says we can know that we know Him because we love the brethren. We can know that we know Him because we desire to do what God says, His commandments. Number three, 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. Put a little verse about our Romans 8:16. The Spirit bears witness. The Bible says you can know that you know God because the Holy Spirit indwells you. And if God's in you, you are going to know it. There's a conviction. You can't live like a child of the devil and sleep like a child of God. You can't sleep like a baby and have everything in the world going wrong. God will deal with His children. And God will convict you and God will speak to you. And the Spirit of God will work in your life. That's what's wonderful about being married to a child of God, Christian's marriage. You may not always agree on things, but God will help you do right on the inside.
Yes.
How many know what I'm talking about? And so the Bible says you can know that you know God because the Spirit of God lives in you. He convicts you. He speaks to you. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, that He teaches us all things, but the anointing which you have received abideth in you. You need not that any man teach you, but He teacheth you all things. God speaks to you on the inside. If you're a child of God, that's going to happen to you. Number four, our text tonight, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. You can know you're saved because the Bible says so. Amen. You can trust the Word of God. Don't believe your doubts. Believe God. Amen. Now watch. These are the earmarks of every child of God. You have a desire to want to do what God says. You love God's people. That doesn't mean you're always right with them, but you love them. And number three, you have the Spirit of God living in you. And number four, the Word of God speaks to your heart. I remember the first time I on the job, I was a bricklayer and I got saved. And I wanted to be a testimony. And I just want to do the basic things. And I remember the first time on the job that I prayed and asked God to bless my lunch. Now, I was the boss. And I'm on the job. We're sitting under the scaffold. Everybody's sitting around. Now, you know, on a construction job, they say a lot of things on those jobs. And I was sitting there, and I knew this is going to be my day. And I opened my lunch box. I put my lunch out. And I took my hat off. And I lifted my voice. I didn't yell and holler. I just said, Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it and help me in Jesus' name. Amen. When I got through, you would have thought that I had done something horrible. They were going, they were looking at me. The next day, they waited to see where I sat before they sat down. Guess what happened? I started meeting some Christians. Oh, I love meeting those Christians on the job. And I was so excited. There was a love in your heart for God's people if you know God. You understand what I'm talking about? I want these two guys to help me. Come on up, if you would. I want one of you to sit right here. Right here. Just sit right there if you don't mind. And I want you to sit right here on the step. Come on up. Now, let's pretend that this is a Christian. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's pretend that this is a Christian who is doubting their salvation. Does everybody understand? Doubt's the devil's greatest weapon. His greatest weapon. And let's say, let's pretend that this is a man who is not a Christian, doesn't really look like a Christian. I'm pretending. But will tell you that he is a Christian. Isn't it amazing how the devil's crowd will tell you, oh yeah, I'm saved. Oh yeah, I'm saved. Oh, I've done all that. Really? Okay. So let's pretend he's one of those people that you meet who says, I'm a Christian. But there's no evidence. And let's say that this guy is a Christian, but he's down in salvation. Maybe he got saved when he was a kid. I had a guy say to me one day, he said, I know the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said, I did that. But to be honest with you, he said, I don't know who I prayed to. I don't know if I prayed to God, to the Holy Spirit, or to Jesus. I don't remember who I prayed to. And I said, it doesn't matter. All three of them get together to save you. That's just the devil. You know what I'm talking about? People have all kinds of things that make them doubt their salvation. If you bow your head and you turn to God in repentance, faith, call on the Lord Jesus to save you. Call on God to save you. Trust me, God said He will. For whosoever. It's not in your prayer of faith. Yeah. It's Him.
Yes.
Faith didn't save you. God saved you. Listen to this verse. For by grace are you saved through faith. A cell phone can connect you. Faith connects you to the Savior. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. When you get faith and you say, oh God, God saves. Not your faith, God saves you.
Amen.
Through faith. Thank God we have faith. I could preach on that tonight, but I got to move on. So here's a Christian down to salvation. Here's a lost man saying he's a child of God. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's take the first test. What is it? Number one, you can know that you know Him because you keep His commandments. So I say to this guy, he's down to salvation. I say, listen, God says that you can know that you know Him because you have a desire in your heart to want to do what God says. Is that what you want to do? Do you want to read your Bible? He said, well, yeah. Yeah, but I really doubt. Okay, hang on. Let's talk to this guy over here. His Bible says you can know that you know Him because you keep His commandments. I say, do you want to do it? I ain't got time to church. I'm not going to pray. Oh, yeah, I pray. Sorry, I pray. I pray all the time. Oh, I believe the Bible. Ain't no doubt about that. What about church? Nah, I don't like church. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Yeah. What about giving? I ain't got enough to live on myself. Why would I want to give? What about telling people about Jesus? No, I'm not. I don't do that kind of stuff. But I'm saved. Oh, really? Over here he says, well, I try to tell people. Number two, you can know you know Him because you love the brethren. I say, who's your friends? Who's the people you like to be around? Well, I like to be around people that know the Lord. If you was going fishing, would you want to go with some drinking buddy or would you go with some Christian? If you was going to go fellowship, would you want to be around God's people or would you want to hang around this crowd that's living for the devil? Well, I wouldn't do that. My friends, I like Christians. Oh, okay. Let's ask this guy. Who do you love? If you was going to go fishing, would you call up somebody that knows God? I mean, maybe a Sunday school? No. I don't want to do that. I ain't going to sit in a boat with a preacher. You play golf, who you like to be around? Well, you know, most of my friends are pretty rough. But I like Christians now, but hey, I don't agree with all of them. Okay. I just want to find out who you love to be around. And I want to find out who you love to be around. Number three, you can know you know Him because the Holy Spirit lives and dwells and convicts you. So I ask him, has God ever convicted you of something? Has He ever delivered you? Have you grown in the faith? Has the Spirit of God revealed truth to you? Has the Holy Spirit of God helped you? Have you ever had to get some things right? Oh, yeah. But I still, okay, hold on. Hold on a second. He's convicted about things in his life. I come over here and say, what about your life? Smoking, drinking, cussing, going everywhere? He says, nobody's living perfect. You ought to look like a Christian. Okay. Can you live like a devil and sleep like a baby? Yeah, I can. That's amazing, isn't it? You sure you say, oh, I know I'm saved. Ain't no doubt about it. Oh. What about you? Preacher, I doubt my salvation. I just don't know. Okay. Number four, the Bible. Do you believe in the Bible? Would God lie? Would the Holy Spirit of God mature a child of God? Does the Word of God speak to you? Now listen. God will speak to you about not being a good Christian. But the Word of God teaches us, the Lord Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin, of judgment. It's a big difference. Convicting you of not living like Jesus. The Word of God speak to you? Got some verses that special to you? What about you? Nah, Who can understand the Bible? I'm waiting for one to get in my language. Well, hang on, there'll be one down the tubes. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is it possible for a person that has no evidence to know that they know God? No. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? Oh, he may say he's going to go to heaven. He may say that till he takes his last breath. But I'll tell you this much, he'll never know. Because the Bible says, this is how you know. Now hang on. Is it possible for a person who has the evidence of a Christian to be lost? Is it possible for a person that has a desire to want to do what God says, to love God's people, to have the Holy Spirit of God living them and convicting them of sin and helping them mature in the Lord, and the Word of God speaks to them? Is it possible for a person like that to be lost? No. The reason the Word of God says these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. And that ye may believe. Thank you, fellas. The devil does everything in his power. The rulers of darkness do everything in their power to stop the child of God from knowing that they know God. Because the very moment they know God and get it settled, they believe on God for great and mighty things. And he'll hold you back for the rest of your life. Now look what the Bible says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you know what God wants Christians to do? Do you know what the work of believers is? Turn to John chapter 6. Turn to John chapter 6. What does God say our work is? John chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 28, and they said unto him, John 6, him is Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They said, Jesus, we want to do God's work. What is God's work? And Jesus said unto them, Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the work of God, that ye believe. Believe. The work of God is to believe. Amen. Amen. Nothing happens in the world till a child of God believes. When you believe, everything changes. When you believe, people have a chance to hear the Word of God. It takes believing God to change the world. The work is done. We believe God. And God manifests His presence and does a wonderful work. The Lord Jesus said, I want you to look at a couple of verses tonight. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 9, the Lord Jesus reveals this. He asks a question in verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy. Have mercy on us. By the way, when you hear them say, Thou Son of David, have mercy, you know they're talking about the one and only Lord Jesus. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I'm able to do this? Do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said unto him, Say it with me, Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Jesus said, verse 29, according to your faith, be it unto you. I don't know how much of the Bible you know, and I hope you know it from cover to cover. But knowing the Word of God is not going to change this world, but believing God's Word is going to change this world. If you ever heard Lee Robertson preach, you heard him say something over and over and over again. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, the Bible says in verse number 22, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And then he said this, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Jesus said, if you'll believe, if you'll believe, this mountain will be moved. If you believe, God will give you the desire of your heart. If you believe, it's according to your faith. Believe God. No wonder the devil does everything in his power to stop a child of God from knowing that he knows God. Because once you put that behind you, you're living a life of believing on God for great and mighty things. We must believe. Here's a great verse in Proverbs chapter 13. I love this verse. Jesus said, if you desire it, believe it, you can have it. Aren't you glad God says something that's settled? Come on. You know, one person can change the world. One person. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 12, hope deferreth make the heart sick. You ever had a sick heart? You ever had your hopes up? Rug pulled out from under you? Yeah, it'll happen. But look what else the Bible says. But when the desire cometh, Jesus said, if you desire these things and you believe God, when desire cometh, it is a tree of life. He said, if you'll get past your doubt, past your discouragement, believe God, you're going to see the desire of your heart come to pass. And you're going to see a tree of life. Listen, my brother, 14 years old, got saved. He claimed a promise in Acts chapter 16, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and thine household. Amen. Very few people have ever claimed that verse. But I'll tell you one thing, if my family was lost tonight, I'd get a hold of that verse and I'd say, oh God, help me believe. Oh God, help me believe that you're not willing that any should perish. Oh God, help me believe that my family is going to come to you. Oh God, help me believe and get a hold of something. God is looking for believers to believe. There's so much in the heart of God that he wants to accomplish in this world. God wants to reach the world. He's not willing that any should perish. And God is rich beyond anything we can imagine. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills the cattle are standing on. He owns the gold and the silver and the earth and the fullness thereof. And the Word of God says, all things are yours. And God wants to reach his world. And he says, but my God, Philippians 4:19, shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want you to get something out of this message tonight. We're not doing the work of God, not because we don't have the money, but because we're not believing God. Come on. And the world is waiting for somebody to believe.
Yes.
Believe. 43 million people live in the Caribbean islands, 30 nations. On the island of Cuba, 12 million people. And it won't be long till it's going to be wide open. Right now, people can go. I've been to Cuba a few times. I want you to know the enemies of God and those who are taking the blindness with them are going to that island. They're loading up. They're building mosques. They're going there with Islam. They're going to try to get as many of those people bound by Satan as possible. And God's people need to believe God.
Amen.
All over the Caribbean islands, there are people that are going to die without God and spend eternity in a devil's hell because God's people won't believe God that He's able to do these things. All over this world, people are waiting, and they're waiting for a believer to believe. And once you believe, it's different. Once you believe, the world is changed. He says, all things are possible to him that believeth. I discovered early on in my Christian life that God puts in every person a special plan and goal and a purpose for their life. And they have something in them. They have God. They have the labor of others. They have the work of God. And God puts in every one of His children the ability to change the world.
Yeah.
And the devil does everything he can to stop them from one thing, just one thing, to get you to doubt God and doubt your salvation. If you're here tonight and you say, I don't remember what I prayed. I don't remember how I felt. Well, let me ask you this. Can you take the Word of God, examine your life, and tell whether you're in the faith or not? If you're not, get saved. Quit playing Christian. But if you are a child of God, put a stake in the ground and ask God from this day forward never to doubt what God has settled in your life.
Yes.
Get it settled and move on. And you'll see God do something with you never dreamed. See, we have a generation of young people awaiting. They're waiting. And sometimes I wonder, what in the world they're waiting on? And so I'm waiting to be called. Well, what about being commanded?
Yeah.
While you're waiting on a call, why don't you go ahead and obey a command? You might discover you see your calling in obedience to the command.
Yes.
Just go ahead and believe God and do something for God with your life. There are families that have children away from God. They have children, have parents away from God. And what it takes is believing. I had a little 11-year-old girl got saved. Oh, it was a while back now, and we have the children make profession of faith, and she came over with the children and a little 11-year-old girl. She rode a bus to Sunday school, sweet little girl, and she got saved, and she came over, and I asked her on Sunday morning, she'd make profession of faith. We do that to try to help them get it settled so they can go home and we work with the families. I said, do you believe the Lord Jesus died for you? She said, yes. Have you invited Christ to come into your heart? Oh, yes. I said, God bless you. Started turning around. She said, and I believe this is going to work for my whole family.
Woo!
I said, what? She said, I believe this is going to work for my whole family.
Yes.
I said, if you believe, it will work for your whole family.
Yes.
And guess what? It does. One little child, one person. You don't have to know the Bible to believe it. You have to know but one verse at a time. Believe. Believe. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that ye may believe. We believe to believe. I'm asking God to help me to believe more. I want to believe more. I discovered that what turned Dr. Robertson's world upside down and made that church such a powerful ministry is he believed that he could touch the world. He believed God was going to let him do that. He believed it. He just believed when people get saved, they're going to change everything about their life. And God is going to work in their family. He believed that. And people got around it, and they started believing God. They started believing. Do you know, when you start believing, somebody else is going to start believing. They're going to start believing something. What do you believe tonight? I'll close with this. Every single one of us tonight have exactly what we believe God for. That's what we have. You may meet people that know more about this book, but you never have to meet anybody that believes more. It's not according how much you know. It's according how much you believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. Let's bow our heads. In just a moment, we're going to pray.